into Los Angeles, where superheroes have taken over the town. Carol Schmidt is there for us this morning. Hi, Carol. Great to see you. Looking gorgeous. And this is all about Comic-Con, isn't it?
Yeah, good morning, Lorraine. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, look, Robert Pattinson, Robert Downey Jr., Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ben Affleck, Kate Beckinsale, just a few of the huge stars who joined 125,000 very devoted fans at the biggest pop culture, sci-fi, comic book convention on planet Earth. Comic-Con 2012, one of the hardest tickets to get your hands on, but for those of us who did, it was well worth it. Our Jill Simonian went and checked it out. Have a look.
Since it began 42 years ago, Comic-Con has turned into one of the biggest celebrations of pop culture on the planet. Fans come here dressed as every single type of character you can imagine to trade collectibles, see new trailers for Hollywood movies, and just to have a good time. This Profiles in History booth is probably one of the most iconic because it showcases so much memorabilia. But for you, what makes Comic-Con such a good time?
Comic-Con is amazing because people come from all over the world. I've met customers from England, Japan, China, the Philippines, Russia. People come here to celebrate popular culture and see what's coming up for sale.
And you also have a host of actors signing autographs right here in your booth. Tell us who's behind us right here.
Well, you know, Sean Astin, I found him wandering the halls and he kind of looked a little lost, so I brought him over to the booth and he's here signing autographs today, you know.
He's busy. He's busy signing autographs. Hello, Sean Astin.
No, I'm not actually signing anything. This is not a pen.
He's a little-known hobbit. He came from Middle-earth.
I'm a known little hobbit.
Mr. Darth Vader's voice comes from a very strange spot.
Hello. How's it going?
Do I look heroic? One of the highlights of this year's Comic-Con is a special sneak peek of The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, starring Martin Freeman and Sir Ian McKellen.
Well, I can honestly say I have told you the truth. I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
Well, it's very pleasant. I mean, once we put all the makeup on, and thank goodness I seem to look the same, so it wasn't too hard a stretch for me.
I'm very pleased, obviously, to join this world. It's a real, genuine thrill. I was very happy and lucky to be able to do it. And my Bilbo is like an amalgamation of my thoughts, Pete's thoughts, just the demands anyway of the screenplay and of the book.
One of the reasons the big stars show up here is because of the fans. 7 out of the 10 top grossing movies at the U.S. box office were either comic book or science fiction inspired. And one thing's for certain, you'll never see fans quite like this anywhere else.
Massive, massive celebration, of course. Going on to a very disturbing story, Carol. Lots of conflicting reports around the death of Sylvester Stallone's son. This was terrible, wasn't it? Absolute shocking.
AP3 Services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 122, and with me this week are, if I can get this right this week, Mary Blitzlang.
Hello.
Rhys Stormageddon Parton.
Hello.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Burn with me.
And
I'd rather not.
And Robert Sicknote Haynes.
Burn with me.
Nice.
We're going one by one.
Who said that? What? Going one by one? You've lost me on that one. Did I miss that? Is that something from the episode?
Not yet.
No, I'm just saying that we're being infected one at a time, and soon it's going to be you saying it, then me, and maybe Mary.
That's good point, good point. Right then. The thing I played at the beginning of the show was something that I just happened to be watching TV this morning and on the Rain Show, which I never watch. You won't do. You'll listen to it when I play it back.
Oh, okay.
When you listen to the show.
Unlike Ben.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically, I was watching Lorraine, which, like I say, I don't normally watch. It just happened to be on. And then she said about... After the break, we're going to have a report from... Stop interrupting. From the San Diego Comic Con. My ears pricked up. I thought, oh, okay then. But unfortunately, no Doctor Who references... Well, no direct ones anyway, but it's still quite an interesting report. And that's right at the beginning of this show. You've just listened to it if you've got to this point. You lot haven't, because... Oh, never mind. You have to when you listen back to the show, if that makes sense. And it probably doesn't. I've got some audio feedback.
Woohoo!
Quite relieved to say.
And Kimmy's got a picture.
Sorry, I was...
Yay. That'll mean nothing to our listeners, though.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. In last week's podcast, Alicia mentioned the BBC are repeating Doctor Who and Confidential. It is a 15-minute version of Confidential. Mary asked about the dialogue at the end of Lazarus. The Doctor offers Martha one more trip in the TARDIS. She says she must be a proper member of the crew or she will stay home. The Doctor says okay. She thinks he means, okay, stay at home, but he makes it clear he means, okay, you are a crew member. It was nice to have Natasha join in with the Gilbert and Sullivan references, but I will never do that myself. Well, hardly ever. 42 by Chris Chibnall.
Good one.
The TARDIS has landed in the vent chamber of the SS Pentallion. The Doctor wants to use the TARDIS as a lifeboat, but the chamber has been filled with hot gas. At the end of the episode, the Doctor says the TARDIS is hardly singed. The episode is set aboard a spaceship in the Taraji system. The Doctor says this is half a universe away from Earth. He must mean half a galaxy. The space helmet has lights inside. This allows us to see the actor's face and stops us seeing reflections of the camera crew. The title, 42, is probably a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. Where 42 is the answer to the ultimate question. In another book of that series, the characters are trapped aboard a ship that is about to crash into the sun as part of a rock concert. Captain Kath MacDonnell has the same first name as Captain Catherine Janeway of Star Trek Voyager. The sun is alive and the ship has taken part of it. If the ship crashes into the sun, it will get the missing part back. Martha has them vent it into space, and the sun releases the ship. The captain pulls a possessed human out of an airlock. Later, in Midnight, by Russell T. Davies, the hostess will do the same thing. There's a subplot involving people who work for Mr. Saxon, who are looking for the Doctor. The Doctor is responsible for the fall of Prime Minister Harriet Jones, so he played some part in the rise of Harold Saxon. Siri, why are there so few horses on the Isle of Wight?
There are few horses on the Isle of Wight because people prefer cows to ride. I have found one horses who are in the local area, okay?
Did you say whowon.co.uk?
No, I said one horses who are in the local area, okay?
You've lost it. What's he on about? So I'm eating a biscuit at the moment. horses on the Isle of Wight? What's he on about?
No, because we always say whowon.uk.
Whowon.co.uk.
Yes. Okay.
Whowon.co.uk.
Yes.
Ah.
What's that got to do with horses?
Yeah, he cows? Lost me too.
Right?
Cows?
Yeah, but still, I don't... Cows, yeah, but that's like not a horse, is it?
Listen to it again.
Oh my God, I've got some feedback from somebody I've never had feedback from before.
Who?
Oh, that's rather exciting. It's suddenly turned up.
Is this live feedback?
No, I'm playing the feedback.
Be from some prince.
Well, this isn't it. This is the feedback. This is the feedback I had lined up to play, but it's just turned up as I checked back.
Exciting.
It is. Hang on.
Thank you, Ian, anyway.
Thank you, Ian, as usual.
Yes.
Yep.
This is the Galactic Exchange. Space travel news. A Dalek invasion force is causing holdups on the Saturn bypass. Pilots are advised to use alternative routes. The mega freighter has shed its load on the third moon of Jupiter. Expect delays. The interstellar cruise liner, Titanic 2, is on course to crash into the Isle of Wight in 42 minutes. We hope this will not spoil your enjoyment of this message. Connecting you now.
You better record quickly.
This is the Cyberlord of Ninth Cyber Legion speaking. To improve morale, after last week's run-in with the audio feedback saboteur, I have decided to let my Cyber Legion watch the entire episode of Doctor Who. You are reviewing this week. Beginning broadcast now. What has happened? Where is Doctor Who?
Hey, from Sewer Me!
This
from
is the stinky arena in
the second running of the Music Lovers Hamlet.
Oh, wait, this is a time warp one. It's got Terry Wogan presenting it.
Or do you want it for the film class?
I cannot take this.
Sewer people, not given to excessive merit.
This is the Cyberlord of Ninth Cyber.
State of high excitement.
Signing out.
Your message has ended. Just to update on mistake, in an earlier travel bulletin, reports that a mega freighter had shed its load were incorrect. The freighter had actually loaded its consignment of sheds. We apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused. The interstellar cruise liner Titanic 2 is still on course to crash into the Isle of Wight in 39 minutes.
That'd be 39 minutes to get the podcast.
Can we do it that quickly?
All you have to do is run down the stairs with your Welsh corgis in front of you.
Really?
Does
that prevent Titanic from landing on you?
Obviously, since it did in Doctor Who. Except
that's a relief then. Yeah. Unfortunately,
well,
paint him brown. I suppose he could pass as a corgi.
don't go there.
Not going anywhere. I don't know what he's referring to.
Could be rolling around in the ground and
I'm lost too, Reese.
What do dogs do on the lawn, okay?
On the lawn? Well, we ain't got a lawn, but I suppose you're referring to defecating.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in some feedback on the Series 3 episode 42. When this episode was first broadcast here in the U.S., the TV Guide magazine here promoted it as Doctor Who Does 24, or with words to that effect. That is, this was an episode that was going to take place in real time. As a premise, that's pretty original for Doctor Who, and if there's an episode that that premise would work well in, it's this episode. Unfortunately, the rest of the script doesn't live up to that premise. And also, while I can't speak for Chris Chibnall, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, I can't speak for his other work. His Doctor Who scripts have never hugely impressed me. Perhaps ironically, for someone who can be seen in a 1986 clip on the Trial of a Time Lord DVD box set, complaining about the quality of that story, Chibnall here contributes one of the season's weakest episodes. It's a script full of cardboard cutouts for characters, and once you look past the real-time gimmick, it's a plot ripped off wholesale from Tom Baker's story Planet of Evil, made some three decades earlier, right down to characters with glowing eyes and a last-minute saving just before the ship crashes back into the planet/sun. Still, there's some good things to be found in this episode. Graham Harper's direction is first rate, and there's some impressive special effect shots as well, particularly that final shot of the teaser sequence going into the opening credits, which, as I understand, was the longest special effect shot yet done in Doctor Who to that time, or I should say the new series. But as impressive as those things are, they're just cosmetic touches that don't really fix what's otherwise a lacking episode, thanks to the script. Thankfully, though, the best of Series 3 is, was, and always will be just a couple of weeks away, as Human Nature, Family of Blood, and Blink were waiting to be broadcast. Best wishes to everybody at the 20-megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. Isn't that chap you met at that convention, Kirby?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that nice of him?
Brilliant.
Did you threaten him with something to get him to send that audio?
No.
Wow.
I knew he would be a good... contributor.
Yeah, clearly you were right. That's Matthew
Crissal, I think it may be how you pronounce his surname. And thank you very much, Matthew. Thank you, Jim the Fish. And thank you, was the other chap?
I don't know. Someone who doesn't like... Con!
Oh, yeah. The funny thing was, I was going to complain this week that we weren't getting enough feedback. And there we are, just at the last minute, a load of them all drop into the inbox. So that's fantastic stuff. And thank you, Alicia's computer, for actually playing them without any problems.
Yay.
Despite the fact I've got the power lead virtually sort of wedged into it to get it to work. But there you go. That's the trials and tribulations of having a teenage daughter with a computer.
Anything like the Trial of Time Lord?
What do you mean? What about Trial of Time Lord?
I said, is that you said Trials and Tribulations?
Oh, I see.
It's a Star Trek episode.
Yes. Clearly more awake than I am at the moment. So, bear in mind, we're a bit stuffed for time at the moment. I thought we might as well get straight on with talking about 42, which apparently is written by Chris Chibnall.
Yeah,
it is.
And how many other episodes has he written for Doctor Who?
No, directed by Graham
Hungry Earth. Yep. Hungry Earth,
Cold Blood.
Okay, that answers that question then. Right, so the episode more or less begins in the TARDIS with the Doctor.
Oh, hang on a second. Oh, he has also written two episodes we have not seen yet. No. Series 7, Episode 2, and Series 7, Episode 4 are going to be Chris Chibnall.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, so yeah, the Doctor is in the TARDIS doing something with his sonic screwdriver to Martha's phone.
To Martha's phone.
Oh my goodness.
Is it a Motorola Razr or something like
that? Torture, didn't he? That's very adult, I thought.
Yeah, but is it a Motorola Razr, the phone? They've moved on from
that. I went back to look. Because
it looks like one, because I had one just like it then.
Yeah, Alicia used to have one similar to that.
It's not exactly one, but it's very, very close.
Hmm. Anyway,
had two mobile phones, so...
Anyway, the TARDIS... There was a distress call, was it? I can't remember. The TARDIS lands up landing inside some very hot place.
Very, very cold. They were
steam,
filming.
Yeah. Because when he comes out and says it's very hot or something, you can see the steam coming out of his breath. That's showing
that.
I thought that
was pretty ironic. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well done. But I have to say, though, that Freema Agyeman looks particularly hot in that vesty top she's got on. Anyway, they quickly add that, and then the crew suddenly turn up and say, what are you doing on my ship, etc., and they shut the door behind them, and very soon we realise that the TARDIS has been... were they jettisoned that particular part of the ship? I don't know.
It goes up to 3,000 degrees.
Oh, so basically it's still in there.
That's
where
he tries to open the door and he gets blasted back.
So I always thought when I was watching this, the TARDIS got jettisoned, but it's actually still in there.
That's
it's just very, very hot in there.
Yeah.
But the TARDIS can stand quite hot temperatures, apparently, until it falls into some sort of lava pit created by the Daleks.
When was that?
True.
In Last of the Time. No, what's the one? Journey's End, that's the one, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I've got to watch that again.
Then we get the first of that very clever zooming away from them looking out of the window clip.
And that's the one, the segment which they say was the longest special effects sequence up to that point.
Mm. Yes.
At least Chris Chibnall and
Russell T. Davies.
Russell T. were saying that in the commentary, which I could not listen to all the commentary. They were going off on tangents that were just crazy.
Oh, we should have to get them on this podcast. Anyway.
Huh?
Never mind.
Yes, please.
So, excuse me, I've got to clear my throat. yes.
I've got you to blame for every time I see Martha's mum, I focus in on her eyebrows. It drives me crazy.
Yes, eyebrow woman. Yes, indeed. Right, so at this point...
I always just used to look at David Tennant's eyebrows, but now hers are...
I would look at his sideburns, to be perfectly honest with you. But anyway, his sideburns don't quite
now
look...
Now in the... Getting back to the story, we start getting into the introduction of all sorts of stars from... soap operas.
Yes, that's right. We've got
all
some.
Over the place.
Well, Michelle
soap
Collins
operas,
has been both.
Soap operas I've never seen.
Well, Michelle Collins has been in both EastEnders and Coronation Street. She's currently in Coronation Street.
I watched her for the longest time trying to figure out where I had seen her before.
Yeah.
And then it hit me. EastEnders.
The doctor immediately...
That must hurt.
Very good. The doctor immediately starts interfering with stuff with Irena's glasses, and he realizes where they are after looking at some sort of retro computer monitor, which is this retro stuff. I know it's down to the designer, but it's very typical of a Graham Harper sort of production.
Just like in Caves of Androzoan.
And a lot of this sort of era of Doctor Who, you know, when they go in a, like a spaceship, it always looks a bit like this.
But Russell T. Davies in the commentary did say that each episode of science fiction tends to represent the era in which it's made.
Right, so then, what he's saying is that the mid-2000s are a bit messy. Yeah.
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
But that's my whole life.
Well, it's funny because this is why I always thought this episode... I confuse it with the Satan Pit.
It does resemble the Satan Pit, except I like this one a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
Is that because of the spacesuit that he was wearing?
A bit like this, just the set, everything.
All the people and the set.
The set, the feel of it, the costumes.
The running around between places, down the corridor. Well,
it wouldn't be Doctor Who if you weren't running down the corridor.
Well, no.
I think you're going to say that.
Anyway.
Well, we went through the era of the 60s and 70s where spaceships were always shown to be so pristine.
Yeah.
I think it's really nice to see these more realistic.
It would be nice,
if... It took the movie Dark Star to change that.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that influenced that much. What, with beach balls as aliens?
I think, though, I must...
that was the first spaceship in a movie which really looked lived in. And then the same writer did
Aliens. Yeah, I know. It's all very good. It's all well and good. But I would occasionally like to see a spaceship which is kept tidy by the crew. Because I would have thought in certain instances...
Enterprise.
Well, no, meaning Doctor Who.
How's your car looking at?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, do you keep your car in a pristine...
Don't! Condition? My wife might hear you. Be quiet. But I'm talking about
Battlestar Galactica. I had a pretty clean ship.
No,
as old as it was.
The point I'm trying to make is that's my car. I'm not a military, you know, crew of something. If you're on a ship, if I go to Southampton on the Red Funnel Pet Ferry, I expect the Red Funnel Ferry to look quite tidy because I expect the crew to tidy up after every trip. If I'm on
I want you to go down and go to cruise quarters and see what it looks like.
And look at this isn't the cruise quarters. This
the whole ship is the cruise quarters.
That's the point I'm trying. I don't mind them doing it in this story that they're trying to.
Besides, the one character destroyed all that equipment. The first guy, what's his name?
Yeah. Husband.
Corwin.
He
made a lot of the mess that we saw because he was possessed by the star.
Yes.
And it had him do all the destruction.
Yes. No, but that's not the point.
The red lights are on because they're on emergency.
Yes, but that's not the point I'm trying to make.
The red lights are on to make the doctor's blue suit look brown.
Yeah, look brown.
Well, I think we're also talking about the difference between like military and passenger ships, which would look clean versus, you know, working ships like this one.
Yeah, the point is, I'm not saying...
It's a mining ship.
Aha! I'm not saying this ship shouldn't look dirty. What I'm saying is they always represent things like this in Doctor Who now, that we never see a tidy spaceship. I'd like to see a tidy spaceship just once in modern Doctor Who.
Christmas Carol.
Well,
that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's one in Christmas Carol.
And the Titanic that crashes into the TARDIS is a passenger ship.
Yeah, but that's untidy. Ooh. Well, I got the feeling it was fairly
untidy.
Untidy. Yeah.
And the Family of Blood ship kind of looks neat.
Does it?
Right.
Even though it's green.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. That wasn't a human-based ship, though. Anyway, Corwin has been taken over by something or other. Because the doctor squirts some sort of, like in Star Trek, hyper hyper syringe thing into his neck to sedate him. Corwin is, of course, the husband of Michelle Collins' character, whose name is... Come on, what's Michelle Collins'
name? It's Kath. Kath.
Thank you, well done.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a farm.
But I think actually sedating him has actually helped the creature inside him to take hold. Anyway, meanwhile, the spaceship is falling towards the sun-like thing, and there's a clock counting down. They keep on flashing back to this clock. Ooh, nearly
flashing back to the head.
Yes. Clock. They keep flashing back to this clock. Because apparently this is supposed to be running in time, so we're supposed to be seeing it as it happens. But unfortunately, I was keeping an eye on the DVD clock at the same time and noticed we did jump 4 minutes at some point.
I thought you would, Kirby.
I would have done a better job if I hadn't had to watch this only about 6 hours ago.
Here we go. Well, I was really good. I watched mine a couple of days ago.
I only got to bed at 5 a.m. this morning.
I was not going to watch any DVDs while I'm in a tent in the middle of Kentucky.
Why not?
Why not?
It was raining.
It was raining.
Yes. Gotta watch out with electrical appliances. Okay.
It's funny. It seems to be raining here quite a lot recently.
We did have electricity, and we ran an electric cord into the tent. But I was always kind of worried if something were to happen.
Well, if it's raining and you've got an electric cord running into your tent, I'm not surprised. But anyway,
I did have my iPod Touch, and my geek daughter had her Nook, but.
I don't
watch it. We weren't completely cut off from civilization.
But anyway, back to my new catchphrase, which is back to Doctor Who, as I noticed from last week, that all I ever keep saying is back to Doctor Who.
Well, back in the TARDIS.
Yeah, so Martha and the Doctor have got split up earlier on in the episode, I forgot to mention, because you lot were talking over it. So the Doctor's gone off with Kath, and Martha's gone off with... the bloke I suppose is supposed to be the cutie bloke of the crew.
Two of them, I reckon, seemed a bit
Vashti.
The same, though.
Yeah, Vashti. Yeah. Now, his name's quite similar to Vashti Narada.
Riley Vashti.
Yes.
Moffat.
Yeah. Yes. But then, of course, Moffat, that was script edited, although Russell T. Davies admits he never really script edited any of Moffat's work, so that might be why that crept it or stayed in. But anyway, things do have the same name in life, in various walks of life, don't they? Anyway, they go through this sort of, they got to get through these doors, don't they? Because they're being chased by this monster. Yeah, deadlock doors. Yeah. They answer quiz questions. So this
amazing how this deadlock technology is all over the universe.
Yeah, isn't it? but anyway, so the Doctor. Basically, it leads to Martha having to ask Eyebrow Woman, phone her up Eyebrow Woman, and ask a
question about classical music, yes.
Yeah. It's an interesting note. I wonder classical. If anybody, because it says when the phone rings, it says Martha 07119119905. Now, I wonder if anybody's actually tried ringing
and
that number.
You know who has? Russell T. Davies' boyfriend.
Apparently
his boyfriend, every time a number appears on screen, he'll phone the number. Yeah. And he said he even phoned the number despite Russell T. Davies saying that it wasn't a phone number. His boyfriend still phoned it.
And?
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't a number, I take it, on that particular one.
I don't know. It could be a number now. You never know. They try to check things before they...
Well, as I suspect loads of people listening to this podcast via... their phones, I suspect a few people are actually now ringing the number to find out.
People do.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she's...
we have a standard in the U.S. where on TV programs or movies, the exchange number is always 555 because that doesn't exist anywhere in the U.S.
Right. But it does exist. There are valid 555 numbers, and I'm not talking about directory assistance.
Right.
It's a particular range of 555 numbers.
Oh, right, kind of.
It used to be every 555 number, but I just found that out this past week.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Back in the TARDIS.
Yes. Corwin is walking around with his eyes shut, saying, "Burn with me."
Very good.
Good, Adam.
He opens up his eyes, and I quite like that effect. It does look a little bit similar to sort of regeneration-y, sort of, not the eye bit, but there's a sort
the sound
of
effect
the lighting and everything. What was it?
The sound effect sounded the same too.
Oh. But anyway, regeneration. He's staring at, is it Suki, the woman? I can't remember. Is it the woman he first kills? I can't remember her name. Anyway.
Abby.
Oh. Abby, that's it, right. Yes. He stares at her.
Suki's from True Blood.
Oh, right, okay then.
I thought it was a bit cartoony, her blackened outline.
I didn't mind that.
555-0100 to 555-0199.
For God's sake,
beautiful talking about that over death.
Can I just talk about this, the cartoon character thing about this character, Abby?
Someone died.
Please. Because I saw a film once about the Hiroshima, the Japanese, you know, and people close to the explosion were vaporized. And there were like shadows on the ground where they had been stood. Yeah. So it is in enough heat that will happen. So that, you know, especially the heat of a sun. So that's fair enough. But I think also it wouldn't actually
melt the metal around.
It would melt the metal around it as well. But we'll give them that. You know, we'll let them off that for what they're attempting to do.
With I won't.
That. All right, fair enough.
Well, Adam, I have a question that I wonder if anyone else can answer. I was curious. The doctor had to specially sonic Martha's phone so it could call anywhere. Yeah. But I wonder, with those people that are working for Saxon, what could they hope to trace?
Yeah.
I mean, because they kept trying to keep Martha and her mother on the phone so they could trace it, but, I mean, they don't have access to the alien technology.
Yes, but the
so I'm just wondering, you know.
Conversation.
But the master would have some way of tracing it, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah,
basically, it was the master.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the master has the technology.
He's the master,
Okay. And also, by this stage, he probably would have had the TARDIS.
Well answered, Adam.
Yeah, but he also had the TARDIS that he'd cannibalised, didn't he? So he could do something with it that way. Moving back to Doctor... Well, it was Doctor.
Does
moving back to the Doctor...
The
subject
matter. Yeah, if you think about it, the TARDIS is in two places at once.
Yes, but it has been in two places at once before, isn't it?
And inside of itself. And inside of itself.
Yeah.
Inside of itself. Inside of itself.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Anyway.
Now, about the question, the Elvis question and the Beatles question, did you hear the Doctor say... Now, where was I? Oh, here comes the sun.
Yes, I did.
I like that line.
Isabella was sat on my lap during that bit, and it's one of her favourite songs, so she sort of went, oh, here comes the sun. Can you play it? So basically, when the character Abby gets killed, there's a scream goes out, and Eyebrow Woman hears it over the phone.
Hey,
yes?
How can she have such a long scream if she's been vaporised?
All right, Robert. Very good points, but never mind.
Endothermic vaporization.
Move on. You can move on from the death of Abby.
Okay.
Endothermic vaporization.
For God's sake.
Oh.
Okay. They get the answer. They get the answer from Eyebrow Woman and are able to get through the door.
The entire episode is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
All right. Thank you. Anyway, they find the shadow. Cast on the metal, but also still has the actress's bun on it, which I thought hair would actually vaporize a lot quicker than the rest of the
Precisely.
Body.
Precisely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Bone can be vaporized, and the hair. What the?
All right, Robert. I'll get over it. It's all right. Okay.
All
right.
Robert.
Corwin then is chasing after him in a menacing way, and saying, "Burn with me." And they realise he's a bit of a monster, and they try and get into the only thing they can get into conveniently for the plot is an escape pod. Not an escape podcast, that's what I should be trying to form very soon. And a little screen goes across, and then we have a little game in which Corwin's monster sort of types in a code to sort of detach it, and they keep on typing another code to stay. Jettison activated, initiated, wasn't it? And jettison cancelled. Deny, that's it. Going backwards and forwards. Of course, inevitably, just so as we can have that only really wonderful scene of the whole episode in which the Doctor comes up to the glass and shouts, "I'll save you," and you just see his lips.
You know what was funny about that?
Almost reflected with the Donna and Doctor thing
Yes. It made me think of that too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But not in a comedy way.
Exactly. Not in a comedy way. Yeah.
But you know what was funny when they show you behind the scenes of them doing that scene, and it's this little plywood kind of setup with the camera tracks and just pulling back, and it looks so funny when it's not in the special effects shot.
Yeah.
If anybody watches that.
Yeah.
I
would if I had more time.
Yeah.
15 minutes, Kirby. 15 minutes.
Meanwhile, Corwin.
Do you know what time it was when I finished watching?
All right, never mind.
I got to bed at 5 a.m. this morning, Kirby.
Will you stop it?
Children.
Meanwhile.
That.
Shush. Corwin has met up with his missus, and she sort of gets through to him, and a little bit. There's a little bit of a spark of his personality still in there because.
As always.
He's just about to kill her, and then he sort of stops. You're my wife. Burn with me. It's the worst for that effect.
I think you
like
that.
Hang on, there's two of them now. I've forgotten something. There's two of them now at this station. There's Corwin's with the missus and the other bloke who's been taken over.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
What?
It's almost a Pyramids of Mars type.
Yes.
I bring you to text gift of death.
Oh, I do like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was.
One of my favourite lines in Doctor Who ever. But anyway, moving back to this episode. He took one bloke over. This is the bloke that who's trying to...
Ashton.
Yeah, Ashton, to get the pod released from the ship, therefore falling into the sun and stuff. He punches a panel, which then, of course, locks everything out, which is convenient. Very good bit of wiring in the panel. Corwin then walks underneath something which is some sort of ventilation thing that gets pumped ice air into it, which kills him, apparently.
Very conveniently.
Yeah, so he falls down.
And you've got to wonder why that was there in the first place, what function it served on the ship.
Could have been a fire extinguisher type of thing. You never know.
Yeah,
well.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I suppose it could have... Yeah, it's right. It could be plumbed into a fire extinguisher thing. Very good. The Doctor sort of nearly looks in sort of eye to eye with the Ashton monster, who then, because the other monsters got killed, walks away and the Doctor's
I like when
okay.
he walks past him and knocks him.
Yeah, very tough.
Yeah.
The announcement Corwin's dead comes over, which of course he's all been dead for a while, but never mind.
It'd been better.
Hey. Anyway, right.
Mighty Python.
This is the we get to the scene where I'll save you.
It's just a flesh wound.
And if you just be quiet, just a sec. Be quiet. Hang on.
Well, I'll take you on.
I know it's very difficult. I know it's very difficult for you lot.
You've got no arms.
Who hasn't? What are you on about? Right, hang on. Shush. Shush a minute, because I'm going to do something very clever here. And you can't hear this, but the listeners will be able to hear this particular clip from the episode.
Doctor! I'll save you!
Martha, it's too late.
There we go. Now,
that's what she said.
Very interesting.
What was
it? Yeah.
Did you hear it?
No.
It's basically. I also noticed with Martha, when she's a bit stressed out, she does a lot of funny little breathing. She goes, quite a lot. When she gets upset or she gets anxious.
She taps on the glass quite a lot there in that scene.
Yeah, she taps the glass.
Yeah, scene, he goes, tap.
Grab Marpa. He said, more pace, more action.
All right.
Every scene. So he hypes them up.
But that scene was the best scene of the whole episode.
She saves the Doctor and saves the ship. I think I can forgive her some little nervous tics.
Yeah.
But as I said, my favourite scene of this episode, and probably the only thing to make it for me.
So worth
what
watching. What was it that you just played for everyone except for us?
The bit where he shouts, "I'll save you!" Obviously, I had to play the where you can actually audibly hear him say, "I'll save you." The bit I like about it is where you actually just see you can't hear him, but you see him mouth the words.
Yeah. I'll save you. That would have worked very well on an audio podcast.
Well done, Robert. So that
coming up next is a quote from the artist.
Meanwhile, Corwin is still dead, and Kath and the other chap, whose name escapes me, are just crouched over his body. She doesn't seem as upset as you probably would be if your husband had just been killed. But never mind, I suppose she's just that way. And the ship is still falling into the sun. So the pod is falling into the sun a bit more than the ship, because obviously it's detached. And Martha decides this is another good time to give Eyebrow Woman a call. on the phone.
Can I mention something? You know how the ship, when you see the big ship, it's always sort of rotating around. So does that mean the pod rotates around at exactly the same sort of trajectory as the ship?
Who cares? Anyway, right.
Ask me that one.
Even I have that check.
I saw that too.
Okay, you really don't like this episode, do you, Robert? We'll come to that in a minute. Anyway.
Well, Martha didn't just decide. Martha didn't just decide to call her mother. She was encouraged to do so by the guy on the ship with her.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, the Doctor then gets suited up in a red spacesuit, unlike the yellow one, of course, he had in its sister episode, I call it, which was Satan Pit and Possible Planet.
Collar to it.
So he's going.
Isn't the helmet the same helmet, just repainted?
Yeah, quite possibly. So, same lighting, anyway.
They just added the color on it.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah,
very good. Good money saving trip for the BBC. It does look like he's.
Well, they said it's in the same unit. Well, it's set in the same time as the other.
I didn't know that. So anyway, he's going out. He's going outside. To remagnetize. Now the actual pod's quite considerable distance away from the ship now, but amazing magnets on this ship that are able to precisely. And by the way, the actress that plays the Sinister Woman, as she's labelled in the title, Sinister Lady.
Elise Dutoy.
Oh, she's so beautiful. She used to be in Hollyoaks many years ago. Very beautiful lady, but never used to play sinister people. She used to play quite nice characters. Apparently related to some sort of continental royalty, apparently. So I've been told.
The place where the handle to remagnetize the ship to bring that back is very strange.
Yeah, on the outside of the ship.
Control there.
Yeah, let's stick it on the outside of the ship.
Of the ship. I found that very odd, too.
Yeah. Silly. But there you go.
But you could find yourself as the spaceship and needing to get inside or whatever, or need to, so you never know.
Well, with the airlock and that, no, I don't think that would work somewhere. So
just a plot device.
So as they could reuse an old costume. So
that's not the only thing they reused.
Yeah, so when Martha phones her mum,
and you know, they use the trailer music for series 3 when he's opening the
They used the MRI machine from Smith and Jones.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
Stasis chamber.
Well done.
Yeah, stasis chamber, same thing.
Well done.
And speaking of music, they play that lovely Martha's theme again while she's in the pod.
I have to say, it's the first time I noticed that on this episode, and it is lovely, yes. It's a very, very good piece of music, that. But then most of the music in these episodes is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, so she's phoned up her mum. Her mum is got, let's say, these people in the background recording the conversation, et cetera, which I remember at the time thinking, oh, God, what have they done now? And obviously, you knew it was going to be something to do with Saxon because it had happened in the previous time we'd seen Eyebrow Lady. She'd obviously...
You don't remember her name, do you?
Yeah, Martha's mum.
Francine Jones.
All right, Francine Jones. I think Eyebrow Lady is probably a little bit more accurate.
Yeah, I think it covers that.
The Doctor manages to just about stretch to the rusty old handle, which why would it be rusty in space? Surely it needs oxygen to get rusty. I don't know.
It did fall off when the first attempt at that scene.
The handle
did?
It
did. Yeah.
Good.
When they show you on... Yes, on the computer.
Because this is where the Doctor realises what the sun is now. Because as he remagnetises it, he feels the life in the sun thing, and he says,
alive.
"Gordon's alive," a few times.
What did he say?
And it only took him 4 minutes to do that. Because when the clock when he left, it was 12 minutes. Oh. And when they were reattached, it was eight minutes left. And unfortunately, because he's looked in there, his eyes have gone a bit funny. And this is Tennant doing some really, really good possessed acting or fighting against possession acting. But he does
he had met Elizabeth Sladen a year earlier, who is at acting possessed.
Indeed, but have you noticed he does a lot of this for his teeth sort of acting?
Yeah.
Doesn't he do that anyway, though?
when he's stressed out.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But this is another, probably the second best bit of the episode. This actual sequence when he is sort of fighting against possession. Really, really good sequence.
I agree.
And so they, obviously he's saying, you must get me back and freeze me. And then, of course, this is a bit where he leads up to the bit where he tries to tell Martha about that when he dies, something happens to him. And sort of Martha sort of fends it off a little bit because she sort of doesn't want him to think he's going to die and that. Meanwhile, the dead Corwin comes back to life.
I told you he was getting better.
Mm. They do stick him in the in the thing, and they turn the freezer down after obviously he's warned Martha that no, something happens to him when he's close to death.
But didn't Corwin fiddle about with something so that it couldn't reach the?
Well, no, he woke up and he flicked a switch and cut off the power to the med room. Is it the med room or something? I think that's where they were.
Yes, I think so. You know what was funny?
No.
You know when they rush into the stasis chamber, what's her name? Martha has a quick look at the instruction manual. And decides to work how this message chamber works in 3 seconds. And also, when the doctor's lying down and he's acting, he's spitting all over Martha.
Okay. He's sorry. He's so, so sorry.
Okay. Anyway, he goes, ow. He goes, ooh,
it's
ow.
The med center. And in the subtitles, its center is spelled the proper way.
He's got some fillings, though, considering he's got a new body. He's got quite a lot of fillings there, I noticed. Since he's got a new body, he's had a bit of dental work done.
Good eyes.
Yeah. Corwin wakes up and he flicks the rusty old switch to disengage power. I think he got down to about minus 70 or something like that when this happened.
Is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
Okay. He's dead.
No, he said that he can take minus 200. He said he could take minus 200 for 10 seconds, didn't he?
Something like that.
You guys are going to have to carry on. I've got to excuse myself for about 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Toilet break.
Okay. Anyway, right, we'll carry on.
Number ones or number twos?
He quickly defrosts, though. He's gone from frosted up to undefrosted quite quickly. And he shouts at Martha to vent the fuel, give back what you've taken, sort of thing from the planet.
Yeah.
Now, I seem to remember this thing has been done before this. You don't know that you've actually taken something.
Yeah, they did it on Planet of Evil, remember?
That's right, yes.
As mentioned in that Matthew's feedback.
Yeah, no, sorry, thank you, Matthew. And also,
I think
it's been done in Star Trek episodes.
The antimatter. Yeah, they had to get the anti back.
Yeah, but I think it's been done in Star Trek episodes as well. But
probably. Probably. I'm sure.
Is this the point where she sacrifices herself by undoing the airlock and taking her and Corwin out into space and they die in each other's arms?
And the scene was originally she sort of was stumbling in to let him out and ended up getting sucked out herself. But then they thought, no, we'll just make it that she's sacrificing herself for the...
Those were supposed to be her last lines in the episode anyway, so that's all right.
That happens a lot in Doctor Who, people sacrificing themselves.
Yes.
Yes.
Another high death count episode, this one. So at this stage, there's 2 minutes left. The Doctor sort of clambers out of whatever he's clambered out of. And he's still fighting. He's still fighting, and he gives in and he says, "Burn with me," or something like that. Just after that, Martha.
Hold on. You know when he's in the stasis chamber and he's all iced up.
Yeah.
They're saying when they cut back to him the next time, he must defrosted very fast because there's no ice on him. It was a bit of a sharp cut.
No. He did defrost.
Well, they never brought his internal temperature down.
No, they were saying it didn't make sense when you look at it on film because 1 minute he's got all iced over and then suddenly he doesn't look like he sort of has defrosted.
Fair enough, but his internal temperature would make sense of him defrosting very, very quickly.
They mentioned it on the commentary, Adam.
Sorry! Sorry, Robert!
Well, so, who are we in the face of a commentary?
Exactly. Only I'd have time to listen to the commentary.
No, no, obviously it didn't matter that much because we accepted when we watched it.
Yes, okay, fair enough. So Martha, meanwhile, manages to vent the stuff, and as soon as she does that, everything returns to normal, including the doctor. And so Martha's...
I like the effect of his eyes going back to normal, though.
Martha's,
cool.
Martha's a bit of a hero.
Again.
Again. As you were alluding to.
But it is her first real sort of proper episode, though, isn't it? When she's actually a companion, yeah.
Oh, an official.
Oh, official
signed
companion,
up
you mean,
companion.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be interesting to know, because there's lots of argument about whether people are companions or not, whether you've travelled in the TARDIS or not. So that would mean that you're only really a companion if you're a companion in the doctor's eyes. So it's only people that the doctor said, OK, you can come along, that you're a companion, rather than people that have maybe had the odd journey that he's taken from A to B that don't actually count as companions. Because that's what this is implying, that you're not really a companion until the doctor says, OK, you can stay.
Or if he gives you a key.
Here's the key, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be quite a good
guideline.
He didn't
give everybody a key, though, did he?
No, that's what I'm saying.
In the old series.
But that would be a good guideline.
Harry Sullivan didn't have a key.
But he was...
Oh, no, Sarah did. Oh, no, Sarah didn't have a key.
She did occasionally.
She only got given a key. No, yeah, she only got given it at times.
Yes.
Like, say, Android Invasion.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's something you look into. I think you can say that Harry was a companion because he was with them... Wasn't he? He was with Sarah, and he was a member of UNIT. You couldn't necessarily necessarily say that the Brigadier was, even though he travelled in the TARDIS a couple of times. Maybe I don't know. An associate, a recurring character, as Ben would say.
Companion.
So basically, it comes to the end of the episode, and Martha has a snog with the cute bloke. Don't quite
did you
know
think he was cute?
There.
Did you?
Well, no, I think that's what he's supposed to be. Not me personally.
Yeah,
I think
he was cute.
Okay, if you say so.
Could have done with a shave, though.
Tell you what, though, she's cute.
Yeah, when he wants to meet up with her again, you can just tell by the glance over her shoulder at the doctor, you know, that she really isn't interested.
Yeah, but she would be interested in other circumstances, obviously.
Right, right. Yeah.
But
could have asked him to come on board.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the doctor's, when Martha returns to the TARDIS, the doctor looks a bit melancholy at the
Yes,
thing.
He does.
And then he quickly changes. That was very, very Ninth Doctor. That was the way he did that. And this is where he gives Martha the key and she's basically becomes an official companion from there on. And, must phone her mum up. So Eyebrow Lady gets another call, and we get another look at Elise Dutoit in the background. And then she says something in the lines of, Mr. Saxon will find it most useful, or something like that. Was it?
And I hope you voted.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Because it's election day, isn't it? Yeah, they did allude to the fact it was election day that day. The other thing, you were talking about the phone, you know, that being a time and space phone, how convenient it was that when she called her mum, it happened to be at that time, you know, where she's actually there with
and they're waiting around. Yeah. But I think they said they were there all along. They didn't want to reveal it earlier on that she was had these people behind them. It was only for the reveal at the end that they sort of turned the camera around that way so you could see that they were being listened in on. So
where are we?
I think they were there all along.
Well, I'm on the Isle of Wight. Kirby. I think
I'm on the west coast of Australia.
Yeah.
I'm on the east coast.
Mary is in Ohio, I think, and
America.
Magic.
Planet America.
Ohio.
And Magic and Stara down by
reference
me,
to the Drew Carey show.
Yeah. Go on then, Kirby. We have actually finished talking about the episode, but so if you've got anything you'd like to
gone
add?
That long.
Oh, we've done it.
We're done.
Yeah, we've done it.
Long enough. You know, we've done the top 30. We've done it all.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Go on then, Kirby. What did you want to say?
I was just saying I was back.
Okay. No, I meant about the episode.
Oh. Who do you want?
You.
Me?
Yeah, you.
I actually like this episode. It's fast paced. It's got a few silly things, but it's
a few.
It's not bad.
But I'm interested to note if the silly things you're referring to the ones we referred to a few moments ago.
Eyebrow lady.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't bother me. I definitely like this one better than the Dalek two-parter and Lazarus.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
But everything other than that in this particular series is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this
and,
one,
and from this point on, we just start getting into great. So
yeah. But this particular episode,
except for
me, this particular episode is one I hadn't actually watched since it last aired, and it's not one that I would think, yeah, oh, I'll sit down and watch it. But I can't say that I didn't enjoy it. It's certainly better than its sister show. I mean, the fact that I said, I think at the time, that Impossible Planet and Satan Pit dragged out a bit being two episodes.
No,
this being a one episode thing is okay. I think if this had been two episodes, I probably would have been just...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Another reason that this one's a fun one.
It couldn't have been 42 then.
Oh, true. Yeah, it couldn't have been 42. Very good point.
This one, I have fond memories of. I believe this is the very first episode my geek daughter first saw.
Yeah.
Julia, back when it was first on. She was a geek, however old she was, in 2007, so let's see, she would have been 12.
Yeah.
It was the first one that I remember her watching with me.
Yeah,
and so I've got fond memories of that. And I've asked her about that. She says no, she saw some other ones.
Yeah,
but
so she doesn't remember that special moment.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it was okay. I mean, it was okay. I say there were some really good highlights in it. Like I say, the two.
So what were the silly things?
Well, those are the silly things. And Robert's alluded to earlier on, but I mean, the highlights for me were the bit when the Doctor gets taken over. And that bit, obviously, like I said, when Martha gets detached and they're sort of
detached,
I do like
she
those
loses a few arms and legs. Yeah.
Yes. Mary, while you're still here, I suppose you
come
better
back here, you pansy.
You better tell me what you thought.
Well, I like this one again. I like this one better on a second viewing than I did on the first. I found it pretty exciting, actually. But what drove me crazy, of course, I can't say this doesn't happen in other stories like it, is, okay, they've got, you know, so many minutes before they're all going to perish, and yet people have a tendency to just stand around and talk to each other. And I'm thinking, why are you not all scrambling to do everything you can?
I'll have to let you carry on, the dog's being sick. Magic, come on. Magic. Ooh. Not fair. Yeah. No.
that part of it made me a little crazy as to why everybody wasn't reflecting the same level of anxiety over saving themselves. They all just seemed to take it under, you know, like, okay, we're all just going to die, I guess. I mean, Martha seemed to be the only one that, you know, continued to carry that stress level.
She tends to be, and that's one of the reasons I like Martha.
I think
Martha was the character was hampered by the writing of some of the episodes.
Actually, one
of my favorite companions.
Mine too. You know, she didn't used to be, but she really is fast becoming it watching these again. Because she's quick thinking, and all the Doctor has to do is kind of say, well, this has to happen, and bam, that girl is off and she's making it happen. So I love that. Go ahead.
My only problem with her is the fact that she's in love with the Doctor and he doesn't notice it. I just think that's a bit cliche, and I think they shouldn't have bothered with that, and she would have just been perfect.
Exactly. I agree with you. Because it makes him look like a cad, you know, and I don't like just liking him because it's like he's totally oblivious to her. And for me, the highlights of the episode are Martha in the pod, you know, when it detaches, and all the conversation she has with the guy in the capsule and the call to her mother. And to me, that was really, really good stuff there. Good acting.
Mm. And, you know, when they detached that pod as well, they made sure that, what's his name? Murray Gold didn't put any music in. They had that bit of silence just to emphasize it.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
But he makes up for that later on.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic person throughout it to keep the pace going, I think. Also, at the end, when you see the people that are working for Harold Saxon, there's a bit of the Master's music from Last of the Time Lords.
I didn't notice that.
That it's the four drum beats. Da-da-da-dun.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Well, Reese, I was just wondering.
I miss things when it's one in the morning.
Reese? Yes.
Well,
I was just wondering, will you ever have a bad word said about Murray Gold?
No.
Okay, well, there we go.
Probably not.
Have we gone through everybody's comments on this particular episode?
No, just Robin me and Kirby.
Right, go on then, Reese.
Well, I quite liked it, but for some reason, as soon as the pod was connected back with the ship, I kind of thought, okay, well, they're out of it. I know they're all going to survive. Well, the main characters are going to survive. And I just kind of thought, can we hurry up and get to the end? But before that, it was filled with quite a bit of tension, and I think the idea of having the two possessed people wandering around with their masks on was a scary thing, because it seemed like they could just turn a corner and they'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to put myself in that position. But other than that, I'm not sure if it's one I will go back and watch anytime soon.
I think I've got more chance of going back to watch it, seeing it this time round. I mean, it's certainly, I wouldn't think, now, I'll go and watch it now. But I think it's not as bad as it was, as I remember it to be, if you know what I mean. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was quite fast one. There was only one little lull, and that was a bit where they were in the pod and Martha was talking to Cutie Boy, whatever his name was, in the pod. That was the only bit.
And
let me interject. I think it was a great scene when Martha calls her mother for the answer to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, being a mother, I know exactly how I exasperate my daughters when they need something right away, and I'm puttering around trying to make it happen.
Sorry, the mouse isn't plugged in.
Why was the mouse not connected to the laptop?
I don't know.
Why would you have to worry? Yeah. You've got a touch pad.
That was a bit silly, actually, wasn't it? And why haven't they got one of those, like we have now, the mouse pad that's actually on the laptop?
Dongle.
In fact,
Eyebrow Lady probably has the same problem using those as I have. I can use them, but I much prefer a mouse.
Okay, fair enough.
But Adam,
too, but you can't
Adam,
yes.
She can't even bloody pluck her eyebrows properly.
True. I think they're mainly painted, actually, Robert, but never mind. Go on then. What do you think then, Robert?
Well, before Robert speaks, I have to say goodbye. I have to leave for work.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
It was great.
Bye.
And
bye.
Bye. Let me know when the next one is.
It's
bye-bye.
On Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, okay. Oh, fabulous.
Sunday,
okay.
Sunday.
Monday.
La, 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 la. La, la, la.
Bye.
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 Right. Yes. Who was it? Oh, Robert. Yes, go on then, Robert. Yeah. Robert?
I actually didn't mind it on first viewing, and I still don't mind it. And despite me saying the pedantic thing, don't mind it. I reckon it's okay. But, Mary did say when you were trying to make sure your dog didn't vomit all over the place.
Which he did.
Was that... yuck.
Oh.
Was that... Yeah. There was quite a bit of talking, standing around talking instead of... And this is despite Graham Harper, you know, more pace, more action before every scene.
Hmm.
I think, it must be hard to maintain that sort of constant action, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a race to save things within 42 minutes kind of thing. So it must be hard. So, I'll let them off for that. And as Russell T. Davies said, there would be people sort of timing, you know, is the episode actually 42 minutes when they're, you know, trying to save things. And he says, of course, for the sake of drama and that, you've got to, make concessions.
Yeah.
You're not going to cut things down just because, oh, well, this is 20 seconds over, whatever, 42 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they even made mention of the series 24.
when you watch it on TV, of course, it's going to be an hour with ads interspaced between the episode. When you watch on DVD, it's only 45 minutes an episode, despite it being called 24 in each episode.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, an hour of that day kind of thing.
Yeah.
When it's really only, so I liked it. Yeah, it was
never
okay.
I've seen 24.
Nor have I.
Me either.
Oh, it's a good show.
No, I'm sure it is.
Despite them repeating a lot of things, it reminds me of another certain program.
To sum up, it's not one, like I said before, not when you pick up to say, I'm going to watch this one, because it really does. Ah. It's not one of the standout episodes of Doctor Who of this new era, is it? Let's face it. But it's, as Ben would say once again, it's all right. So,
all right.
Probably better than, what was the one we had last week?
Lazarus Experiment.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably better than Lazarus Experiment for myself.
No.
Yeah. I think it's better.
I don't think so.
Well, I do. And what I say counts.
I agree with you. What about Kirby?
Excuse me?
He's asleep.
I was reading casting, what?
No, you have the casting vote. Is 42 better than the Lazarus Experiment?
Absolutely.
Thank you. There we go. Hey.
Absolutely not.
Right. So next week we will be just discussing a brilliant story. So hopefully we'll still think it's brilliant afterwards. That's Human Nature, Family of Blood. And also, on the subject of apparently that Doctor Who is returning at the end of August, when we get to the Christmas special at the end of this year, that will be it for this particular series of reviewing New Who until the new series either comes to an end or splits in half. So, we'll be stopping at the Christmas special that's attached to the end of this series, which I believe is The Voyage of the Damned.
Voyage of the Damned, yep. Mm-hmm.
But yes, meanwhile, episode 1, 2, 3, da 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 da, it's so elementary, next week, will be the Human Nature, Family of Blood. And I'm really looking forward.
Have you done news yet?
Or no, I'm just about to do news. News, as the Americans say. Yes.
News.
Or as Alicia would say, news, to be honest with you. Yes, Big Finish, Night of the Stormcrow. Big Finish have announced that their traditional Christmas special release for their regular Doctor Who subscribers, a bit unfair really, but there you go, Night of the Stormcrow. I don't like this for subscribers specials nonsense. I mean, the Podshop
do this. I don't either, because how much money would you spend?
Yeah.
Seriously, who's got... Goodness knows how many hundreds.
It's like Podshock in there. Supporting subscribers get this, that and the other. So,
I know,
So what? Anyway.
Big Finish needs the money to pay the actors to make the productions, though, so I get that.
Let them do it. I just find it... I mean, I don't listen to a lot of Big Finish stuff, to be honest with you.
Exciting news.
But I'd like to listen to this story specifically, but I don't want to subscribe to loads of stuff just so I can listen to this story. There's a few others like that I'd like to listen to. Anyway, it'll feature Tom Baker and Louise Jameson, Anne Bell...
Friend of the show.
Yeah, and Chase Masterson from Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine.
Indeed. That's by Mark Platt coming out as the Christmas special for this year for a Big Finish. TV Choice Awards shortlist of this year's TV Choice Awards has been announced, with Doctor Who making it through to the final cut in the three categories in which it was originally nominated. Now, it probably won't win them, to face it.
Which are the categories?
I'll read on. The show is up for Best Family Drama against Glee, Merlin and Waterloo Road. Sarah Jane Adventures.
So it's one then.
Well, no, Waterloo Road. Even though it's crap. It's crap. Waterloo Road beat Doctor Who last year in the television awards.
A bit like Glee, though, isn't it?
Glee's nowhere near as good as it used to be. It's crap, too. Merlin's good.
It used to be good.
Merlin's good, though. Sarah Jane Adventures has been included in the initial round, but didn't get through to the votes to make the shortlist. Now, Matt Smith goes head-to-head with Martin Clunes, Benedict Cabbage Patch, and Colin Morgan for Best Actor. Now, I wonder who's going to win that one. A category that also included Mad Dogs star John Sim and Mark Warren in the qualifying round, while Karen Gillan will be pitted against Miranda Hart, Jay Jacobs and Freya Maver for Best Actress, with Freema Agyeman, star of Law & Order UK, falling by the wayside following the first round of voting. Talks with Miracle Day
has been nominated for Best Drama Series in the opening round, but failed to get any further, although Sherlock co-creator Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss is a contender.
Your Torchwood Miracle Day.
Why? Didn't you like it?
No.
Right, okay.
You're lost then.
Matt Smith has been made National Youth Theatre Patron. And that's all I'm going to say on that one. The Sonic Screwdriver remote control I was talking about last week. There's been quite a lot of this on other podcasts.
Is that the real version there?
Yeah, apparently so. It's a universal remote based on the 11th Doctor. Sonic Screwdriver will be available to buy in the UK from the 31st of August. Yeah, so we might have one of those. Probably won't get one.
How much?
Does it say?
It doesn't say the price, does it?
Well, no, probably because it'll probably vary from, depending where you're buying it from. Yeah. Big Finish are releasing Countermeasures Series 2. That's all I'm going to say on that because I don't know what it is. Paul McGann will be attending the San Francisco Silent Film Festival.
It's an audio series.
Karen Gillan is the star in a horror film called that's it. She sounds like a...
Which I hear is going to be filmed not far from here in Alabama.
Oh, good. You can go and meet her then.
Yes.
Oculus Reparo. I was thinking of that from Harry Potter. Broadcast Hot 100 this year includes writers Stephen Moffat, Mark Gatiss, and director James Hawes. That's a bit boring. I'm not going to bother reading the rest of that. Yeah. There is
also Dr. Torchwood guest star Ruth Jones, Olivia Colman.
Part two of Power of the Daleks fan film has been released.
Yes, now, I'm looking forward to watching that.
Tell me more.
It's have they recreated Power of the Daleks, but using
they've actually got a few. Yeah, they got people from the actual show, like Nicholas Briggs and Byron B. Edwards.
Well, it's directed by Nick Scovell, who plays the Doctor, and the film is an adaptation of Patrick Troughton's first story, and also features Nicholas Briggs, Lisa Bowman, and Barnaby Edwards.
And the first part was released about 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, good on them.
So now
the
second part's just been released.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm interested. I can get time to watch it. I'll try and watch it somehow. That more or less concludes news from that particular site.
No, but you obviously know of something. From that site.
Yes. Go on then, Kirby.
We do have titles for the first four episodes of Series 7.
That's what I was hoping you had to say.
Including the properly spelled Asylum.
Asylum of the Dark.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. I was in a rush when I wrote that. Right, so Reese. Listen. Right. If you don't want to hear the titles of the episodes, I would suggest you sort of disappear for about a minute and then come back again. And that includes you two.
Put a message on Skype.
I'll time it. Right, and I'll give you a minute to talk about it, and we're going to start that minute. Are you leaving, Reese? We're going to start that minute in 3, 2, 1, now.
And now we can say all sorts of nasty things about Reese.
Oh, get on with it.
Dinosaurs on a spaceship, a town called Mercy, and cubed.
What's that first one? Mercy, I thought the first one was Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah, Asylum of the... I already said that one.
Oh, go on, sorry. Yes. And the second one was...
Dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Spaceship.
I didn't get that because Robert talked over it. Dinosaurs on a spaceship. Yes.
A town called Mercy.
Yeah.
Which is... That's what's the name's episode, isn't it? Right. Toby Whithouse.
Yeah.
I think so. Mercy.
And is it also the pond's last one?
Yeah, cubed is the pond's last one.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the Christmas episode, is it?
Yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, and that doesn't match up with the timings of when the shows are supposed to be on, though.
Ten seconds left.
Unless they delay that episode, though.
I don't find that spoilerific at all, to be honest with you, but 5 seconds left.
No, I don't either.
Except
there's going to be dinosaurs on the spaceship.
Okay, time's up. You can come back now, listeners. You can come back now.
Which strikes me as an odd title, but...
Yeah, never mind. We're not talking about titles anymore. Right, so...
We're just talking about Reese. Reese was very naughty, wasn't he, when he did that?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's always very naughty, isn't it? Let's face it.
Is he back yet?
He obviously doesn't know how to time a minute. He's probably gone into the kitchen to find his timer.
Probably gone to the toilet.
Yeah. Now, did you get that from the new Who News, by the way, Kirby? Because there's something come up on Twitter.
You guys done yet?
Yes, we've done about 3 minutes ago, for God's sake. Been sat here twiddling our thumbs.
Yes.
I got it from Earth Station Who.
Earth Station Who. Okay, there we go. So anybody who wants to see that sort of information.
So hopefully they are correct.
I think they probably are.
Okay.
It's also Doctor Who spoilers page. Which
yeah. All right. So move on. Yeah. Move on before anything's said to upset Reese. Right then. BBC press release requiring one of the largest sets to date. Oh yeah, well, I won't say that because it actually does allude to one of the titles you mentioned. What else we got here? Just trying to see if there's anything non-spoilerific in relation to Doctor Who.
Was that the Sesame Street episode, Adam?
Yes. Can imagine that with the count. One. Oh,
sorry, Reese.
No, you're joking.
No, I'll tell you what. I am going to, for once, actually digress because talking about.
What? Really?
Yeah, don't you just us? Deliberately digress. I was fiddling around on iTunes and they've got. I typed in BBC effect and it came up with about 20 BBC sound effect albums, all for £2.50 each or something like that. And I thought, I want them. They've got so many brilliant sound effects on it. And it made me think, oh, I want to do an audio drama. I've got all the sound effects now. So that's something I'd like to do. Always wanted to do, but never had the time to do. But yeah, I'm very, very tempted. To actually, because I have got some scripts.
Do you have the old sound effects album from the old days?
Have I a sound? Not BBC one. I've only got a sound effect.
The Doctor Who.
yeah, I got that.
I've got the vinyl of the Doctor Who sound effects.
I have Doctor Who sound effects, and there are Doctor Who sound effects on the sci-fi disc, the BBC one, which I already have, plus a few others, like the Masters TARDIS, which is really quite interesting that I didn't have amongst my collection. But I was just saying that I have scripts that I've written and are sitting on my computer that I've always meant to do something with. I'd have to adapt them for audio. That's the only different thing, apart from the Doctor Who one I did. That is audio. It's written as an audio script. I'd have to redo it slightly. But I've always wanted to do that, and at some point in the future, I hope that will actually come to fruition. Moving back to the subject in hand.
Meanwhile, back on the TARDIS.
Yeah. So a new Doctor Who episode will be... No, I'm not going to do that one. There's lots of people talking about the actual episode titles and speculating as to what's going to be on them on Twitter at the moment. So I'm going to move away from that and move to our sponsors, which are whowon.co.uk. Because there's some...
Would that be whowon.co.uk?
No, it wouldn't. I said it's whowon.co.uk. They've got a special offer.
Oh, whowon.co.uk. I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, whowon.co.uk?
Well, if you shut up, I can actually talk about the special offer that they got on. Wormery
offer.
Will you be quiet? Wormery Access of Insanity, Nocturne ID, and Exotron CD. It's basically all those CDs from, I think, Big Finish. Probably.
Yes, they are, yeah.
£43.95 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 CDs. I think that's quite a good value.
That's good value. Mm. Yep.
So that's their
and
special
they do
offer.
Good stuff.
Yes, latest products.
So this special offer is at whowon.co.uk?
Yes, yeah, so www.whowone.co.uk. Right, Dark Horizons by J.T. Colgan, a CD.
Oh, that's a 11th Doctor one.
Good one, because it's 420 minutes long, so six discs.
Yeah.
So, and that is priced at £12.99. Again, quite a good price. DWM449 is still out, so obviously I haven't bought a new one of that out. The Silent...
This one with the bases.
That's the one. Yeah. The Silent Time Machine set is out now, 1999. Uh-huh. The Silence, the creatures. Remember the set from the Impossible Astronaut?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember
anything. I don't remember any.
God, it really does make things very difficult with you lot. Cracks in Time.
What's he going on about?
Cracks in Time by Walker. Stephen James Walker. Price $15.99 paperback. And the
book. Speaking of cracks, I introduced someone to Doctor Who last. Someone was asking me about this Doctor Who thing, so I yesterday. So I lent them my copy of The 11th Hour, and I ended up being sucked in and watched it with them. And I think we've got another Doctor Who fan.
Well done.
Yay.
We'll get them to listen to the show.
Can you send in feedback?
Hopefully.
I'll see if she's interested in listening to podcasts.
That's what I'd like to see. Cracks in Time hardback is £30. So it's quite interesting, the price differential there.
Speaking of cracks, we need a plumber.
No, you were talking about feedback, weren't you, just a moment ago? Now, that got me thinking that it's about time. It is about time. In fact, long overdue, we had some more comments coming through on our iTunes feed.
Yes.
We haven't had one for a blimmin' long time. And I did put something on our Facebook group. That's our Facebook group, 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, about...
I did one on your Podbean one.
Thank you, I saw that. But I actually meant on the iTunes. I do appreciate the ones on Podbean as well. Yeah, I'm not saying I don't appreciate... Anything like that's great. But if you can, listeners, please, let's have some iTunes. I mean, I can look at the ones, because obviously each country has their own list of feedback. Yeah, so I have a look around the world. This is why I discovered that certain nations haven't
Sandro
even posted any.
Sandro left a comment on the Australian one.
Oh, is that a new one?
I don't know whether it... Well, have you seen this comment from Sandro
before? He obviously posted it after I looked. I haven't seen it yet, but I will look. Maybe I have. I can't remember. But anyway, thank you those who have posted comments, and those who haven't, please do so. And also, if you want to send in feedback, please. I haven't mentioned this a few weeks. So we've still been getting feedback, but not as much as we could. It's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please send in your feedback. Written, audio, I don't mind.
Can you repeat that just in case people missed it the first time?
Oh, okay, if you so wish. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And, of course, you can join our Facebook group. And that is the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. And
Can I mention something? If you look on the iTunes...
the iTunes.
When you look on the show notes, you've actually got links to how to send them feedback and all that. So
indeed there is.
Yep.
Yes. I'm just having a look at the Facebook group now because there's lots of... strange things to people talking about beef chili pot noodles and stuff like that.
I mean, that was on your page.
Oh, was it? Thank God for that. I was worried. I thought, what the hell is that doing?
They cost so much over here. I can't believe it.
Yes. I'm still listening to last week's episode of the Omega podcast, which I noticed that Mary managed to leave without doing the charts, which is very naughty of her. I did actually send her the charts as well. So she managed to.
Oh dear.
So that sort of didn't quite work.
Did you let her know that?
Did it? No.
Well, she only has an hour.
I know. Well, you lot. Yeah. So I'll blame you lot for sidetracking me. So in relation to the charts, that then falls down to my responsibility to read. So are we ready?
No.
Cue the music. Cue the music.
Dun, dun, dun.
Right. I'm sorry. I just got to clear my throat. At number 30, down two, is Ian Todd's Universe of Podcasts. At number 29, down two, it's the Sonic... Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, good name.
The
Never
Sonic,
heard of it.
Shush! The Sonic Toolbox. Number 28, down four, under the miniscope. Under the miniscope. The miniscope. Oh, you never would have heard of Shwaddy Waddy, would you? Number 27, down four, Earth Station
hello.
1. Hello. What are you saying hello for? What are you saying hello for?
You disappeared for a second.
Well, that's not my fault. Number 26, Non-Mover, The Cultum Collective. Number 25, Re-Entry for the Untempered Schism. At number 24, down to Travelling the Vortex. At number 23, a re-entry for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. That's quite a mouthful. Number 22 is a re-entry for Hukas from Germany. A long time since I've seen them in the charts. Number 21, Non-Mover for Tim's take on. And number 20, into the big top 20. Number 20, a re-entry for the Ha. Penis Patrol. Number 19, re-entry for Bigger.
That's what she said.
And it's quite funny that it goes from that to Bigger on the Inside.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Number 18, Up 2 for the Blue Box Podcast. Number 17, Up 2 for Staggering Stories. Number 16, a re-entry for Blind Inspiration Podcast. I think that's what we need, really. And number 15, Up 1 for the Big Finish Podcast. Number 14, brand spanking new Playing Doctor. Episode 1 has just come out of Playing Doctor Podcast. I've downloaded it just to see what it's like. Because it's absolutely not yet. I've downloaded it. I'm recording this.
I'll download it too.
Yeah, just to see what it's like. So that we're gonna maybe have a chat about that next week, as it's a brand spanking new one. Number 13, down one, Hyperballs Who Hype. Number 12, re-entry for Bad Wilf.
I don't like that. Wilter's not bad. I look forward to seeing him again in the future.
I'm not being funny, Rob, but I'm pretty sure we established this in a previous rundown of the charts. Number 11, re-entry for the Casturberus podcast. Number 10, this is into the big top 10.
Yeah, number
down one. Who? Sorry, I'll start again. Number 10, down one. Doctor Who, who's he? Number 9.
I don't know, who is he?
Yeah.
So this next one at number 9 has gone out of the top 10, into the top 10. It's a Doctor's Companion, up 2. Number 8, up 2, Pharos Project. Pardon?
Stop swearing again.
Number 7, up 1, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Up 1, yes!
But at number 6, and because they very cunningly appeared on our show and made people download their show, and therefore leapfrogged us in the charts, the Omega podcast. Number 5... It's a non-mover for the memory cheats. Number 4 is a non-mover for the DWO Who cast.
Did you listen to the latest memory cheats?
No. Number 3, a non-mover for...
They did
shudder. Did they? I wish they would shudder, then it wouldn't keep on being above us in the charts. Number 3, a non-mover for the Tin Dog podcast. Number 2, a non-mover for Radio Free Scar. I think he's doing a little bit too much for my liking. And number 1, a non-mover for the Doctor Who podcast. And that's the first time we've ever had the top 5 stay exactly in those positions since we've been doing the charts.
Oh my.
Someone put them into the never mind.
Yeah, Adam, yes.
Ian did post something when you put about recording in 30 minutes.
Yes.
He said, speaking about the failure to recruit an extra 10,000 security staff for the Olympics, Lord Coe said, that's Sebastian Coe,
yes.
The reality is, and I cannot put this more simply, when they expected people to materialise, they simply didn't. Said if they had hired David Tennant as fans wanted, they would have had an expert in making people materialise.
Yes. Well, the thing is, what they seem to forget with this terrorist threat to the Olympic Games, which, of course, we pray that doesn't happen, but it could happen. It has happened before, 1972, and I was only 6, and I clearly, at 6 years old, remember what happened at those Olympic Games. It didn't stop it from happening. It didn't stop the Olympic Games, and it shouldn't do. People should not be scared out of pursuing such things like this, out of, what might happen like that, and what could happen, what may happen, you know.
They have arrested a few people, haven't they?
Yeah, and good on them. They've done a really good job, but it doesn't mean the same because they have arrested a few people that they won't. No, there won't be somebody out there that will try and do something terrible. So hopefully, I'd say, fingers crossed, it won't happen. And I tell you what, I will tell you a little story in relation to the Olympic Games, because you probably not following the Olympic Olympic Flame Relay, which is currently going around the South England at the moment. Came to the Isle of Wight on Saturday. And so I went up to Newport with Isabella and found a place along a fairly sort of empty road in Gunville where my friend lives. We went to her house for an hour, and then 2:30, when it was due to come past, went out, stood next to one of the security people who said that if you stand next to them, they're doing one of the kisses where they cross over the flames as one torch meets another and they move on. Then I heard a note that they'd only just left Totland, which is like 8 miles away.
And when one torch meets another, do you get a lot of baby torches?
No, not yet, anyway. Oh, no, I'll tell him. I'll move on to baby torches in a minute. But
that's when they love each other very much.
Yeah, shut up.
Yes.
Anyway, so I phoned Deb up because they said it was a 40-minute delay. And I thought, well, they're running.
Well, 42.
Fairly, not sprinting, but running 8 miles from Totland to Gunville. Sorry? 8 miles. And how? They're doing a relay. But for an 8-mile relay, and I thought that could well take quite a long time. So I phoned Deb up. I said, Deb, it's been delayed by 40 minutes. And she goes, well, I've been waiting here for half an hour. I'll finish work at 2. I said, so you basically want me to come home and get you then? So anyway, I went home and got. I was a bit grumpy because I really wanted to see my once-in-a-lifetime chance of seeing the Olympic flame, and got her. And then she went into a sulk because I was grumpy about it. Went round to Mother's, and I had to wait around there for 20 minutes. But eventually she agreed to come with me. Got up to Newport just as everybody was leaving the route where the Olympic flame had just gone past. So I basically completely missed the whole thing because of her
grumpiness. And she said, oh, you're going to go on about it now. Well, I've just gone on about it. There you go. So, yeah, I didn't get to see the Olympic Flame. And talking about baby Olympic Flames.
Did you video it?
No, could I? I didn't see. How can I video it if I wasn't there to see it? I did take a video camera. I did take my stills camera, but didn't get to see it. All I've got was lots of people could say, did you see the flame? Did you see the flame? And
no, because your bloody heads are in the way.
Carrying lots of Olympic memorabilia, like balloons and flags and stuff that they were selling on the route. But my compensation was I was allowed to buy.
66.
I was allowed to buy off eBay a miniature Olympic torch made by Corgi for £15, and that's basically my compensation for missing out on seeing the Olympic flame. Basically, I tried to get tickets for it. I'm going to be in this country for the first tickets and only time in my life. There's been an Olympic Games, and I'm not going to see anything of it now. So I'm a bit grumpy about that, because I really wanted to
you
see
always
that.
Always go to Rio in 2016.
I think it's going
to
be on television.
Doesn't quite mean as much as it being here, to be honest with you.
It's not at the Isle of Wight, is it?
No, that's another gripe, because it could have been, because obviously they're having the sailing event in Weymouth.
So?
Yeah, they're having the sailing event in Weymouth, which is further over to the west than we are, and we're the sort of sailing capital. Well, Cowes is the sailing capital of Great Britain. Being that Cowes Week is one of the premier sports events. Sorry? Marina. I thought we said arena.
Yeah. No,
yes.
Marina.
It's a very large marina, yes. It's basically Cowes is like Wimbledon and the FA Cup final. And it's one of the main sporting events of the year, which the royal family always used to attend.
See? You do learn things listening to this podcast.
But unfortunately, they decided to choose Weymouth. I mean, it doesn't make sense, because Dame Ellen MacArthur is sailing royalty. She's Dame.
She's on the island.
Yeah, she lives on the Isle of Wight. She lives in Cowes. And we've got Shirley Robertson, who's a double Olympic gold medalist, who is associated with one. I've met her a few times and travelled on the boat with her a couple of times, actually. And she actually, my book, The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin, listeners. I gave her a copy and she read it and said it was really good. She lives in Cowes. She carried the Olympic flame. Yet, they decided to do the Olympic tournament in Weymouth. And furthermore to that...
But the people in Weymouth, you don't know whether they have some special people as well.
Not good enough. Furthermore to that, when the Olympic Games was held in Great Britain in, I think it was like 1910.
62?
No, it was last in 1948, but in about 1910.
Will
you be quiet? The Olympic sailing tournament was held at Bembridge Sailing Club on the Isle of Wight. Which it was a smaller sailing club than the Cowes Marina. That's my gripe. So I'm not going to get to see anything of the Olympics. So I'm really disappointed. Moving on to eBay. The item that's got most bids... that's most expensive. No bids against it. Surprise, surprise. Original Dalek artwork, TV Century 21 comic.
Still.
Yes, God's sake.
When will they learn?
Anyway, so that's... thing that with had no bids against it, surprise, surprise. But if we look down the list and find the most expensive item with bids against it, we find a thing called Doctor Who and the Leisure Hive hardback. It's a book.
How much is that?
How much would you pay for this particular? I'm trying to see what's so special about it. It's hardback.
Yeah, what's special about it?
It's hardback.
I've got some hardback Doctor Who books.
So do I.
I know some of them are quite valuable. I'm trying to see the blurb. It says...
Doomsday Weapon, Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Be quiet. Like new, a book that has been read but looks new. The book cover has no visible wear, and the dust jacket, if applicable. If applicable? Rather than know if it's got a dust jacket or not.
If applicable, yeah.
Is included for hardcovers.
No. But they may... I think they didn't have dust jackets on.
Or maybe they put in a dust jacket on it to sort of protect it. I don't know. No missing or damaged pages, no creases or tears, no underlying, it says underlining actually, or highlighting of text, and no writing in the margins. May have no this is probably a bit of blurb they post on only all of their books. No wear and tear. See the seller's list of full details. It's a first edition hardback. That's probably why it is. It's a first edition hardback of The Leisure Hive. Right. How much do you reckon then? It was all done quite
£50. £50.
Okay. Anything? Any other guesses?
Any other bids?
Going once.
So
going
only
twice.
Only Robert is going to have a go at guessing how much this is going for.
I have no idea. Why
okay, well, it's got two bids against it. £315.
Oh, my
Someone
goodness.
Wants it.
Somebody obviously
must
wants it.
Want it bad.
It's obviously worth... I know my good friend...
You can look and use so bookshops bad. At mine.
Thank you. I know my good friend... Really, be quiet. I know my good friend and friend of the show, Alistair Pearson, is well into this sort of thing, and he's got a few collector's items, but he won't be paying £315 for it. I think he'd rather buy one for a tenner and sell it on, but no, I think he just likes to collect them as they are. Yeah, he likes his collector's item books. Basically, because he's pasted most of the covers himself anyway. right.
Yeah,
moving on to the second item, if I can find it. Let's move on. There's a sign, picture of Paul McGann. Not go, got any bids against it.
It's a Doctor Who one of Paul McGann, though.
Yeah. Right. Will you stop licking my hand if you've just vomited, for God's sake?
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Magic just decided to come up and lick my hand. Not a lot of action going on as far as Doctor Who on eBay at the moment, just to...
I think Robert just threw up as well.
Did he? Nice. Remind me to wash my hand in a minute.
Just remember which one it is.
I think he's trying to make out that I'm supposed to be starting to cook their dinners, but they're having chicken today, so Deb's doing it. Right.
What difference does that make?
I don't know. Because
Adam can't cook chicken.
It was interesting to finally find out what it was you were cooking.
It's
when you
already
that.
Cooked. She's cooked the chicken. She just needs to cook up the veg and add some dog gravy to it.
Do you cook rice with it? Do you cook a bit of rice with it?
No, they don't generally eat rice, to be honest with you. I know they can, but they don't. Hang on. He's being sick again. That's why he's licking me out.
Oh, my goodness.
For God's sake, Magic. Could you be sick on that? Come here. Come here. Be sick on that. Not on the floor. So I put it underneath his nose and he decides to throw up next to it. I think this item's sort of dying a death because there's nobody bidding against anything on eBay at the moment.
It's like my cats. They tend to vomit on carpets instead of on the lino.
Can you stop walking around and puking? Can you just stand still and do it?
I am standing still.
Daleks, church.
I have to be sitting.
Daleks by DePaul. Or Daypole.
I'm laying down.
Depending on how you want to print. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. £77. Looks like a full set.
What, bigger?
No.
A full set of what?
Daypole Daleks.
Ah, okay. How many is that?
Thanks
in
for
there,
that, Magic.
Then?
Thank you for puking.
How many versions did they do?
You're welcome.
I know they had a remembrance style.
They got one, two,
they
three. If you let me answer the question, for God's sake. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight Daleks in that collection. Right?
Mm. I've got a red Dalek. Daypole figure.
Have you? I had a.
I've got about seven Daypole figures.
I did have one that was like the Remembrance of the Daleks, white, cream sort of coloured Daleks.
I would have liked one of those. What happened to it?
But I ended up putting it in the fish tank. I put that and the Doctor into my
fish tank.
Yeah, because I thought it'd be quite funny to have it as an ornament for a fish tank. Not long after that, the fish died.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Is that your fish impression? Jim the fish?
Yeah. Where are you, Jim?
Bear in mind, our fish is not called Jim, and it hasn't got any Doctor Who products in its tank with them. Although I did ask Deb if I could put the character options Lego style TARDIS in it, to which she said no.
That would have been ideal, though. They're only plastic.
Yeah, they're only plastic, it's true. But unfortunately, they've got little stickers on them. Right, the final item is a cosplay Cyberman fiberglass chest unit. That's currently listed at £62 plus £30 blooming postage.
Is that like a full chest unit, so you can cosplay?
Yeah,
chest
plate. Pretty useless without the helmet part of it, I would probably say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably concludes it. I just see if there's
I am a fat controller.
Are you?
No. That's what the cyber controller sounds like he's saying.
He's a fact controller.
In Attack of the Cybermen.
Excellent.
So that rather concludes this week's episode of the 20 Megabyte Podcast. Next week we'll be recording on Sunday. Evening.
Sunday.
So somebody's going to have to get up early, very early, and somebody's going to have to get very late. Yeah, you get your times right this time, Robert, because you were an hour late last week, weren't you?
I'm sorry.
No, not, you don't have to apologise. I'm just reminding you.
I was awake at that time, and I could have been on, but I didn't get my timing right, so...
No, that's all right. I'll let you off, but So everybody's aware of.
But I was,
of the
I was just trying to fool people into thinking that I wasn't going to be on. That's all. But okay. I missed the Make Podcast guys. That's what I'm.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't you?
Oh, I still haven't listened to last week's episode.
I didn't.
Oh, that's probably why we're not blimmin' higher up the charts this week.
No,
not
no,
saying,
no, but he
Kirby.
Downloaded it. It's included in the download.
Oh, is
Kirby
it? Downloaded. Yeah, it downloaded already. I've been touring.
Touring. Oh, excellent. With your band.
In the middle of Kentucky.
With the podcast.
And, and going to amusement park where my youngest daughter rode one gigantic roller coaster 42 times.
What the hell?
So madness runs in the family then.
She vomit after that?
No. No, she loved it.
I don't think I could do that.
I think she,
hey,
she,
Kirby.
She just got tired after a while. But she was just getting off, running around, getting back on. There's a picture of it on my Facebook page.
Cool.
You've got a picture of the caves?
No. Picture of the roller coaster.
Now, did the caves have changing lighting?
What do you mean?
Well, they had lighting inside, did they?
Yeah.
For you to be able to see. Did they have changing lighting, like it changed colours?
No.
Okay. No worries.
This was Mammoth Cave National Park. It's just going to be plain. They're not going to do any
fancy
stuff.
No, because I watched a documentary on Billy Connolly visiting the U.S., Route 66, and he visited some caves along the way, and I'm not sure whether those were the caves that one of the set of caves that he visited.
That's not on Route 66.
No, he did go off the Route 66 though. That was the thing. He took detours along the way.
Kentucky is not on anywhere near Route 66. So,
yeah. Okay, that's all right. No, it's just anyway. That he did go.
I'll be posting pictures from my trip in a couple of days. It's just that I've only been back a day.
Pretty slow. Especially after watching Doctor Who last night.
Talking of Doctor Who, as I say, just a little reminder, next week it's Family of Blood and... I've forgotten the other.
Never heard.
Human Nature.
No, thank you, Reese. Oh, by the way, Reese, a little birdie tells me you're actually going to release a podcast soon.
Yes.
You're going to do that very rare thing of releasing a podcast.
Yes.
Excellent. When?
I'm going to try uploading it tonight.
Try.
So as soon as we say goodbye, I'm going to log on to the website where I upload it to, and I'll upload it.
Good, that's what I like to end. There was one other thing I forgot to mention as well. In regards to news, we have a new... Now, be quiet, please. Be quiet. No, you must be quiet. Hang on. Let's see if I can...
Do we have to be quiet?
You do. Because I'm
sure.
Yes, you do, because you're going to hear yourselves if you don't shut up, and you won't like that very much. Right, because I'm going to play this.
Do you like that?
Ben.
Who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done.
Face me! Run!
You've clearly been taking stupid lessons since I last saw
you. Anyone who isn't an American, drop your gun.
I didn't mean to do that.
Anachronistic electricity keep out signs, aggressive stares. Has someone been peeking at my Christmas list up there? Any day.
And if in case you doubted it, that was in fact the new trailer for the new series of Doctor Who that the BBC have very kindly... Oh, sorry, all buzzing there. Very kindly put on for us. New series trailer, BBC One.
So where's the link? Where's the link to it?
Yes.
Well, if you go to iMedia Monkey... Oh, God, it's a long link. I'll see if I can post it on there for you now.
Yes, it's your responsibility to post it on Facebook because I don't have time this morning.
Debbie?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
What's this word called stop that?
Huh?
Stop that Centennial Park in Nashville to feed the duck.
That is called typing on my phone and missing the space bar.
I've posted said link that I was just looking at then, which should have you click on it and it will play that particular trailer. Okay, right, I think that's probably about it this week. I've got some sick to clear up. I've got a dog's mouth to wipe. Yeah. I've got some hands to wash. I've got to design a DVD sleeve. And otherwise, Deb will think I've been doing nothing all day, which is generally what I do when I'm off on my day off. But I've got to make it look like I was doing stuff. I've got to make the bed and do lots of other things that are unrelated to Doctor Who. Oh, edit a podcast. Oh. That was the other thing. Edit a podcast.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Yes, and so until next week, thank you everybody for being on the show. Of course, Sunday next week, so you'll be wide awake.
Sunday.
And the others will be half asleep. Oh, there's another message. Ooh. Oh, it says yay. So until Robert Haynes. Yay. By the way, Robert, I do rather envy your brother's cruising that he's doing at the moment. I'd love to do some cruising.
Ah, isn't he lucky?
He all is lucky. Right around pictures Australia. He keeps posting of nice lovely. Weather and cruising. Never mind. Until next week, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Burn with me. Bye.
Burn with me.
Burn with me.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV Service production. Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.